Host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Were you uninvited to game night? Do you play board games with the ferocious intensity of an iron-fisted oligarch? Have friends left game night asking, "How do you sleep at night?" Then you should get a mattress from Mattress Firm. They can help anyone sleep. Right now, during Mattress Firm's President's Day sale, save up to $500 on Tempur-Pedic, plus get a $300 instant gift. Get matched at Mattress Firm. Sleep at night. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hour.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. More federal workers can suddenly by the Elon Musk government efficiency operation. We're talking about how disorganized and chaotic it is. ABC's Mary Alice Parks at the White House.
We've heard stories of people who have gotten email notices that they have lost their job at midnight, even when their own supervisors and advisors didn't know. People who were locked out of their email and HR systems before they could figure out whether they would still have health insurance.
The Trump administration says some terminations were sent by mistake to employees who accepted the buyout offer, including 300 at the agency that protects U.S. nuclear weapons. Officials are frantically trying to hire them back. Kentucky dealing with flood emergencies after a weekend storm killed at least 11 people. Canadian National Anthem was booed, though somewhat weakly, by fans at the Four Nations face-off today in Boston. Apparent payback for the jeering of the Star-Spangled Banner during opening rounds in Montreal last week. This is ABC News. Texas bracing for the coldest air so far this winter.
From the northern panhandle to south Texas, a bitter cold is on the way. A day before it gets here, sanding trucks are on the roll. Reyna Tellez is with the city of Fort Worth.
The city stocks over 4,000 tons of sand with ample amounts of premixed sand and salt.
It was this week in 2021 that a major cold front set in, eventually knocking out power to millions of Texans and killing nearly 250 people. This event is expected to have a much shorter lifespan. Jim Ryan, ABC News in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Investigators and police in upstate New York say there's no evidence suggesting the brutal torture and murder of a 24-year-old transgender man last week was a hate crime. A new statement says that the five people arrested knew each other and at least one lived with the victim. All identify as LGBTQ+ in the case. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Confidence is knowing you're ready to handle whatever comes your way. That's what it feels like to take on your workday with Cintas. They make sure your AEDs are up to date, your fire extinguishers are tested and inspected, your floor mats are cleaned and delivered, and your workwear looks good, feels good, and is freshly laundered with a Cintas Apparel Plus program. So are you ready to take on today? Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print it all for my business.
Oh, if you can think it, Staples can print it, and we'll beat any print quote.
Oh, great. I'm thinking new brochures and yard signs.
No problem.
I'm thinking calendars, t-shirts, and pens.
Totally.
I'm thinking Staples is the place for printing.
I thought you might think that.
Right now at Staples, get up to $250 off your print purchase. Ends 4-5 exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details. Price match guarantee valid in-store and staples.com/print. Visit staples.com/price match for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Governor Tony Evers will propose a nearly $500 million multi-step plan for Wisconsin's correction system as part of the two-year state budget he'll announce on Tuesday.
These steps are each a critical part, a crucial part of this comprehensive plan, and they have to happen together.
Evers' proposal will include closing the more than 100-year-old Green Bay prison and remodeling the Lincoln Hills Youth Facility into a medium-security prison for adult males. will also propose policy changes to reduce the state's corrections population. A bill reversing the Department of Public Instruction's testing standards will be taken up in the State Assembly this week.
The Assembly Education Committee passed the bill last week. It would reset state report card standards to levels set in 2019-2020, align grades 3 through 8 with national standards, and restore high school testing standards to levels set in the 2021-22 school year. Critics argue the DPI changes mask poor performance. State Superintendent Jill Underley has said standards weren't lowered and that the changes were made through a transparent process with input from educators. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Also at the Capitol, a proposal is being reintroduced to combat human trafficking on the demand side.
The Human Trafficking Prevention Act would impose a mandatory $5,000 surcharge on convictions for patronizing or soliciting prostitutes or keeping a place of prostitution, State Senator Andre Jacques.
Pimps, as well as patrons that are driving the slavery trade, the sex trafficking trade.
The DePere Republican says he and advocates for those being trafficked see this bill as attacking the demand side. Jacques says the measure enjoys broad bipartisan support and that Governor Tony Evers has previously indicated his support. At the Capitol, Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and brutally cold today. High temperatures flirting with 0 degrees and wind chills smacking us back, making us really feel about 20 degrees colder. Tonight, we fall to overnight lows near 25 below, prompting an extreme cold warning where it could really feel near 40 below. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 5 below zero.
Okay, so early this morning, I stumbled down to the office and looked to see where the markets were trading, and they weren't. But no worries, we've got a fresh take and a fresh perspective on what's been happening in the grain markets on this President's Day edition of AgriTalk.
Live from Top Producer Summit Eve Day afternoon via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with the pride of Chi-Town from Zahner Ag Hedgeskids. Hi, Fred. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right. So Ted is here this afternoon?
Ted is here.
Ted's here. So yeah. Am I here?
You are here as well. Yes.
I'm here.
I have you scheduled.
I'm here. Ted is here. You're here.
I'm here. Pretty sure of that one.
Holy smokes, yeah. This just feels a little weird,
Big Apple's around, too. Somebody's pushing buttons somewhere, pretty sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've got the whole gang.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's a
rarity.
That's
impressive.
Usually, when we have Ted Seifert on, beloved listeners, it's me and Ted. Ted has stepped in. He's got a guest he wants to bring. He's got something he wants to bring to us. And he does a fantastic job for us, but sometimes, man... Let's put him in the guest seat. You know, let's get old Seifert in the hot seat.
Yeah.
See what he's got.
Huh? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, baby.
That's exactly what we need to do today. Looking forward to the conversation with Ted Seifert. It should be really good. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to AgriTalk. It is President's Day. The markets were closed today, but we are going to get Ted in here and take a fresh look at what has been going on. So, we're going to focus on the grains and try to get Ted's take on where things are going, what you should be doing about it, and setting up your risk management strategy for the weeks ahead. So,
got a lot
of ground to cover.
Yeah.
Everything okay on your end?
Everything is fantastic. Couldn't be better.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Well, let's go ahead and get to the market news.
Well, sure thing. As has been said, the markets were closed today. So we're going to talk about Friday's price action, where wheat futures led a surge in grain and oilseed prices. The U.S. dollar traded sharply lower to support wheat, and there were reports of progress in peace talks between Russia and Ukraine. Traders suggest an end of the conflict between Russia and Ukraine would stop Russia from dumping wheat onto the world market to fund its war effort. With funds heavily on the short side of the wheat market, position evening ahead of the three-day weekend pushed wheat prices sharply higher. March soft red winter wheat futures opened slightly lower and on session lows Friday and rallied sharply to spike resistance at $6. Front month SRW traded above $6 for the first time since October 25. On Friday, March HRW wheat futures were 23 cents higher at 621 and a quarter. March SRW up 22 and a quarter to $6 even. March spring wheat futures closed at 633 and a half. That's up 16 and three quarters on Friday.
Yeah, I don't know if you've been outside at all today, but it's cold. It is chilly.
It's chilly. Yeah.
It is chilly out there, no doubt about it. And we've got some frigid temperatures that are expected across hard red winter wheat areas. Now, some areas have snow cover, some don't. I think that got into the wheat market on Friday as well. The wheat crop was not in great condition to begin with across Kansas. And because of that, now when you throw these cold temperatures on top of it, the market's a little concerned about being vulnerable to winter kill here. So it's something we're going to have to assess later on this spring. Hey, you know what? On last week, March wheat, March SRW wheat was up 17 and a quarter, March HRW up 17 cents, and March spring wheat futures were up just 5¾ cents.
All right. Well, USDA Friday morning announced the sale of 100,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to Colombia. Combined with the weaker dollar and a sharp rally in wheat, March corn futures were able to trade to within a quarter of a penny of $5. The risk of Safrina corn crop problems in Brazil was supportive for corn prices, as the still wet forecast for central Brazil points to more bean harvest and corn planting delays. March corn futures up 2¾ cents, 4.96 and a quarter. May corn up 2¾ cents to 5.08 and three quarters. July corn futures closed at 5.11 and a quarter, up 2¼ cents. Looking at those Safrina corn planting delays potential there, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, what was it, about a three-hour trade war that we had with Colombia?
I do.
Yeah, that's about how long it lasted. Well, Colombia's been around picking up some corn ever since then. They've been a traditional buyer, and they're back and filling their books. So it's good to see Colombia in there. March corn last week up 4¾. July corn last week up 6¾ cents.
Well, Chip, soybean and soybean meal futures were supported Friday by short covering after trading lower earlier last week. Argentine bean crop conditions continued to deteriorate, according to crop watchers, but recent rains and a wetter forecast, if realized, should limit crop stress. Trade uncertainty was a negative influence on the soy complex last week, with the Trump administration announcing intentions of reciprocal tariffs on a variety of countries. There is some concern that soybeans could get caught up in those trade tiffs. March bean futures opened fractionally lower and near session lows and followed the rally in wheat before pulling back to a mid-range close. On Friday, March beans 6 cents higher, 10.36. May beans up 5¾ to 10.52 and three quarters. July beans closed at 10.68 and a quarter. That's up 5¼ cents.
Okay, we've been talking about how wet it's been up in central Brazil, just because that has been the trend. We are to that time of the year now that wet conditions and delayed harvest really starts to matter. And it matters for a couple of reasons. There are harvest-ready beans all over the place. Got to get them out of the field. And the other reason is, of course, the delay of the Safrina corn planting. So, yes, all of this matters. On the week, March soybeans down 13.5, July beans down 12¾. March bean oil was up 9 points, and March soybean meal down $5.50 a ton.
Well, I've got March cotton 28 points higher on Friday. That's up to 67 and 11.
Yeah, and March cotton on the week was up just 29 points.
Oh. Well, on your livestock's boxed beef values continued to slide Friday morning, with choice beef down $2.26 and select boxes down $1.29. Cash trade was light last week and has been down $2 to $3 from the previous week in most areas. April fat cattle had been working to establish support at $1.95, but prices slipped below that level to close the week. On Friday, April fat cattle were down 227.5 to 194.25. March feeders were off $1.62.5 to 266.35. And on your snout side, the lean hog market backed off from early week gains, but still held on to slight gains for the week. The cash market moved to the upside, and pork cutout values climbed above $100 for the first time in 3 months. April lean hog futures 50 cents lower on Friday at 92.60. June hogs down 60, 104.67 and a half, Chip.
You know, outside of the price of bacon, pork prices have been very stable and attractive at the meat case. So it now that we've got this pork product market back on top of $100, I'm curious what that's going to do to the retail price of pork, and maybe we start to see the loins inch up, the butts, the shoulders inch up, the ribs start to push to the upside. So that's something that we're going to have to watch very, very closely. On the week, April live cattle down 250-250, March feeder cattle up $1.45, and April lean hog futures up 45 cents on the week. All right. Glad that you are with us on this Monday afternoon. It is President's Day. Like we've said, no markets today, but we've got lots of fresh perspective coming your way. Ted Seifert, Zahner Ag Hedge, next on AgriTalk.
Something special is happening in America's cornfields. It's called Invita. Invita allows all crops to fix their own nitrogen and reduce fertilizer. It's helped farmers grow millions of acres of corn with less nitrogen. And less nitrogen is good for the corn, good for our farmers, and good for our planet. Invita's sustainable technology helps farmers maximize profitability with guaranteed results, which makes Invita an investment that's good for us all. Learn more at azotic.com/investor. That's azotic.com/investor.
It can be challenging for U.S. farmers to make a profit in the grain markets. Reduce your risk exposure by purchasing professionally produced seed from authorized seed companies and seed dealers. The members of the Seed Innovation and Protection Alliance invest 15% of their sales into product research and development to help farmers like you maximize their crop performance every year. Bringing new seed innovations requires time, extensive research, and farmer partnership, the kind of commitments the seed companies of SEPA are investing in. Thank you for buying new seed and supporting U.S. seed innovation. To anonymously report a seed infringement, call 1-844-SEED-TIP.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, you know, working with my physical disabilities. I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
Me too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved her, but I love her 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
FFA members adhere to a code of ethics to promote their own development and make a positive difference in the lives of others. They strive to be courteous, honest, and fair, modest in winning and generous in defeat, developing the traits of great leadership. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Recognizing all of our local FFA chapters for all of their hard work throughout the year, this FFA salute brought to you by Compeer Financial, a farm credit cooperative serving and supporting agriculture and rural communities.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider, and MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk on this President's Day, 2025. The markets are closed. but we have got some brand new, fresh perspective on what is happening from Mr. Ted Seifried, the VP, Chief Market Strategist at Zahner Ag Hedge. Ted, my friend, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. How are you, man?
Doing real fine, real fine. Glad you're here on this Monday. Markets are closed. It gives us a chance to just kind of chit-chat about what's happening out there. So,
yeah,
I'm not going to waste much time. What do you like? What do you like in the grains?
I mean, it's weird for me to say, and probably is going to sound weird, but I really like the wheat chart. I mean,
okay.
You know what? You always have to take that with a grain of salt. But you know, from a fundamental perspective, every year we talk about winter kill. Every year we talk about, you know, how cold temperatures affect the wheat crop, and it always seems that it ends up being fine. Right. I mean, the wheat crop is the cat of markets. It has nine lives. But if there was ever a year to be concerned about it, I mean, the winter wheat ratings were really poor going into dormancy.
Right.
We don't have the snow cover on most of the areas, many of the areas that, you know, could get affected. And we have these, you know, reoccurring polar vortices. I mean, it's really cold, and this entire week's supposed to be really cold. So, I mean, if there was a year to be concerned about it, maybe this is that. And also, you know, you've had funds being short wheat, so it's not like they've built up this long position like they have in pretty much every other commodity market.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to say the Russia-Ukraine situation, it's bullish if you do, it's bullish if you don't. What I mean by that is, you know, on Friday we heard that Russia had attacked the port of Odessa, a drone strike again. It had been a while since we've gotten a good old fashioned Russia Ukraine rally, you know, and so that's friendly for the wheat market, and wheat obviously responded to that on Friday. But I'm also going to say, if there is a resolution for this in the shorter term, I think it is actually fairly bullish wheat. Also, in the long term, certainly not. Long term, probably more acres coming out of the Ukraine. In the short run, I do wonder if Russia's been very willing to sell wheat at whatever price they can get for it, simply because they need the funds. They need the financing for their efforts.
Yeah.
And if you take that war effort away and they don't desperately need the funds as much, maybe they're more selective on the prices that they're willing to sell for. I think that firms up global pricing for wheat. And I think there's a chance that we go higher. And then, you know, put the funds on top of that have been looking for inflationary plays on commodities being long. I mean, look at how long they are in the corn market. Certainly, the corn market has had a more friendly fundamental setup for a much longer time. But if the fundamentals really, if the perception of the fundamentals of wheat start to get a lot more positive, along with the chart getting more positive, they could really get fairly aggressive on buying there. And I'm also going to say, you know, I look at markets sometimes from a speculative standpoint as well. And I'll look at all types of things, not just grains, not just livestock. I'll look at all types of things. And there's specific patterns that I look for on charts that get my attention. And there is that pattern exists in the wheat market today. Now, I'm taking pause because it's wheat. And I don't know. I've done this for
wheat is wheat. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, after 17 years of learning better, I mean, you always take that with a grain of salt, I suppose. But, but I mean, if I didn't know what chart that was, I'd say, wow, that's an interesting setup. I might be looking at that from a speculative standpoint. And I have to figure that there are other speculators out there that may not be a typical trader in the wheat market that are seeing the same thing I'm seeing. So I think that's the one that intrigues me the most.
Okay.
The one that certainly has been the best is corn, right? I mean, the corn fundamentals have just been getting better and better since the original Outlook Forum balance sheet that we saw back in February, which was, I believe a 2.4 billion bushel carryover.
Right.
I mean, we've shaved basically a billion bushels off of that outlook. And it's been kind of a slow realization process. Part of it is from, you know, lower production numbers, but I mean, certainly demand's been really good. And you really have a very nice organized rally that's been happening in corn since August 26th. Now, That all that being said, you have to wonder how much of that, you know, friendlier news. And I say friendlier because we've not quite crossed into what I would consider a bullish territory for corn where we need price rationing. You know, mm-hmm. for me, that's what bullish means, is that we have a need for price rationing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've quite crossed into that territory yet. But I think we have expressed a good amount of the more favorable corn fundamentals into this market in the rally that we've had, that, you know, in the case of May corn, for example, has been about a little over 90 cents. And I think that's adequately priced in. And if you start to take away weather premium from that second season safrinic corn crop in Brazil, yeah. then I do yeah. think there is some downside potential. I don't think it's a, you know, when I'm looking at the calendar of February 14th, I don't think there's going to be a big shift in acreage intentions from here on out. I mean, our ideas are pretty much set, I think, at this point. So a break in the market, I don't think, loses corn acres dramatically.
Okay.
And also, a break in the market might be led by soybeans, too. So there is right. that.
Right, right. Okay, let's unpack some of that stuff. One of the notes that I had that I wanted to talk to you about was that corn and wheat seem to be working on the same team now, and at least for now. Is that kind of how you see it?
Yeah. You know, they certainly have a much stronger correlation than wheat and soybeans, for example. I mean, there's crossover in usage for corn and wheat. We can use wheat for feed in a bigger way. So that can cut into the corn balance sheet. When you have a corn balance sheet that has gotten tighter and you've got roughly 800 million bushel carryover in wheat, you have bushels of wheat that can be used for feed. So there is that. But also, you know, the tie-ins that they have to Russia and Ukraine make them even more closely related. So, yeah, absolutely. I think the grains have a stronger correlation than row crops, right? I mean, we group them in those two categories. I think the correlation between corn and wheat is stronger than usual versus the correlation between corn and soybean, i.e. row crops, which is strange to say at this time of year when we're talking about acreage, right? But you just have a disconnect on global fundamentals between corn and soybeans. I mean, you look at the global carryover for corn being multi-year lows, stocks to usage being at you know, decade lows.
Yep.
Whereas soybeans have gained, you know, 25% in that global carryover just in the last 2 years. So
exactly.
Different sets of fundamentals, and I think we have to kind of treat them that way.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, a couple of other things that you mentioned already. The funds are short, but the funds are positioned for inflation in other markets. Doesn't that just mean that wheat has been the inflation hedge? And has time run out for the need of an inflation hedge?
So that is two great questions. One, I think the inflation hedge has fallen a lot more so on corn and soybeans, meaning the funds are buying corn in particular. But I think I think they're a lot longer in soybeans than they really want to be too. But that's because they're using it. And soybeans has always sort of been the darling of the inflation hedge. So they want ownership in those markets, with the idea that if inflation does start running rampant again, these are the markets that should go higher. Wheat is a much more global thing, so it's not as impacted by what's happening with the U.S. dollar. It is on the trade standpoint, but not necessarily on an inflation standpoint or representative of the inflation standpoint.
Yeah,
but
I can see that.
If the funds are looking for something that they see as undervalued that has exposure, I could see them switching more over to wheat, especially if that chart setup's right for them. Yeah. Now, has the time passed us for the need for the inflation hedge? That is the ultimate question, because, you know, when you have inflation numbers that are running hot again, and you have a president that is vowed to fight against inflation, and again, it's not completely under his control. I mean, a lot of that's to do with the Fed. You do wonder if the steps that are taken from the government, both sides, both branches, are going to be deflationary. So I don't know. I think, in my opinion, it's late for these guys to be putting on inflation hedges. Okay. I do think that may have run its course for the most part.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Hey, we are off and running in our conversation with Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge. It is President's Day, and we've covered a lot of ground already, but we've got more ground that I want to cover. Ted was talking a little bit about what's going on in the soy complex. It does feel like that complex has been underperforming. So what is that telling us? Is the bean market just trying to give up acres for 2025? We'll talk about that with Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge next here on AgriTalk.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
In observance of President's Day, let's take a moment to get to know some of our nation's former presidents. According to GoodHousekeeping.com, contrary to popular myth, George Washington did not have wooden teeth. Instead, his dentures were made of human and cow teeth, ivory, and metal. We're used to seeing his face on the $20 bill, but ironically, Andrew Jackson reportedly hated paper currency. He only trusted silver and gold. Martin Van Buren was the first president to be born inside the United States. His parents had immigrated from the Netherlands to Kinderhook, New York. He was born in 1782, 6 years after the colonists declared their independence from Britain. And although Woodrow Wilson was obviously used to public speaking, he was reportedly very anxious about delivering the first live nationwide radio broadcast in which he honored the anniversary of Armistice Day and outlined a vision for America. From GoodHousekeeping.com, those are some presidential facts you might not have known.
Young people who take an active interest in their futures find a lot to like in FFA. As members of the FFA, they apply what they learn in the classroom and in the field to meet the challenges of 21st century agriculture. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Recognizing all of our local FFA chapters for their hard work throughout the entire year, this FFA salute being brought to you by Wisconsin Credit Union, taking pride in serving the community.
Whatever your industry or service, we know running your own business is a point of pride. Pride in serving the community and pride in building something greater. And at Wisconsin Credit Union, we take pride in helping you achieve it. By offering everything from business accounts to ACH services, business remote deposit and card processing. We also provide the latest online and mobile banking services to save you even more time. And because investing in your business is key to growing it, we provide great rates and fast local decision-making on loans. We even offer the convenience of applying for our Business Express loans online. But what truly sets us apart is the level of personal attention you'll receive from Wisconsin loan officers who really know the local business climate. Because, like you, we're also proud to be a part of it. To find out more about our business loans and services, just stop in or visit our website. Wisconsin Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender. Member eligibility required. Member NCUA.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and brutally cold today. High temperatures flirting with 0 degrees and wind chills smacking us back, making us really feel about 20 degrees colder. Tonight, we fall to overnight lows near 25 below, prompting an extreme cold warning where it could really feel near 40 below. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 5 below zero.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Now,
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. We are in the middle of a conversation with Ted Seifert, VP and Chief Market Strategist at Zahner Ag Hedge. The markets were closed today, but we've got some brand new perspective on what's been going on in these markets. Okay, so Ted, we talked a lot about corn and wheat and the relationship between those two markets in the last segment. We're going to talk more about it because I want to get back to Russia and Ukraine too, and try to gain a little better understanding of what might be happening there. But on soybeans, okay, has the market just been underperforming? I mean, what is the market trying to tell us?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad we circled back to soybeans because I think there's a lot to be said. Underperforming. I think you could view it from a couple different standpoints. Okay. You can say underperforming compared to corn. Yeah, I would agree with that. But like we said earlier in the last segment, I mean, there's two different sets of fundamentals here. And one of the biggest reasons to be bullish for soybeans in the last, you know, month or so, month and a half maybe, is, you know, South American weather problems, right? The issues with Argentina, dryness, hot and dry in Argentina, but also, you know, getting that the first season soybean crop harvested in Mato Grosso. Both of those things theoretically would extend our export window longer than what it normally would be and mean more U.S. soybean exports, which could lower the balance sheet, could make it for a tighter balance sheet, and could also give us more of a reason to say, actually, maybe we do need more, maybe not more soybean acres, but to lose less soybean acreage, right?
Okay.
But the problem that we've had there is that it's not translated into that. There's not been this global sense of urgency,
right,
from, you know, China or other global end users to come in and buy U.S. beans. Look at the last 3 weeks of export sales. They've been falling off of a cliff. This last week was pitiful, well below the end, the trade expectations. And, you know, it almost seems that our window of our export window is ending a little bit earlier than usual.
Right. I'm with you on that. That's what it does feel like. Yep.
So that's really concerning, right? I mean, a few weeks ago, you know, we were thinking, wow, we're going to get a couple extra million metric tons out of this. And now you're almost taking that same amount away from you know, what our expectations were. So, you know, with a lack of urgency from global end users and China in particular, I'd say maybe soybeans have overperformed because we've kind of factored in weather issues that almost don't end up being issues. You know, it's like, you know, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's around, does it make a sound, right? I mean, if there's a weather issue in South America, but China doesn't buy U.S. beans, does it really matter?
Perfect. That's, you know, and, absolutely, yes.
Right. And so for the moment, now that can change, right? I'd say, you know, watching Argentinian crop conditions, look, their weather's gotten better. They've had a pretty decent, we're halfway through February. Their February has been pretty good, certainly compared to January. Now, that doesn't completely, you know, catch them up or get them back to where they need to be from a moisture standpoint, but it's a really good start to the month. Yet their crop conditions have continued to decline. So is that suggesting that permanent damage has now been done in Argentina and that crop cannot get better from here? If that's the case, maybe the global end users do find a bit more of a sense of urgency. We have seen that actually expressed in the form of meal to some extent. However, we do have a lot of meal to be sold. I don't think that bigger export sales in meal, at least at this moment, does not necessarily translate into sharply higher crush numbers. The crush is already running really rather high because of soybean oil. Yeah, I mean, there are things that can happen to turn that ship around. Maybe it's a political-based thing. You know, maybe China does end up having to come in and buy soybeans just to buy soybeans. But until something like that happens, until we see that expressed in our daily flash sales or weekly export sales reports, at this point, it's really hard to get excited about that soybean balance sheet getting any tighter. It's hard to get excited about, you know, any last minute bid that soybeans might make to try to regain some acres or need to do that. It's hard to be really bullish on soybeans right now without those extra sales occurring, because that is, I mean, look, there's only two things we can do with soybeans. We can either crush them or export them. And if the exports aren't picking up, we know the crush doesn't have that much more room to increase.
Yep. The, and I feel like we made a big circle back to the comments that you were making about the global supply and demand situation. We've got a much better situation for corn and for wheat than what we've got on soybeans. The trends are more favorable for corn and wheat than they are for soybeans. And that's absolutely right. It's playing out right before our eyes. No doubt. Okay. Most of that conversation that we had from the start of the last segment until right now was all based on a simple question, which was, what do you like about the grain markets? Mm-hmm. So let me take it a different direction here, the exact opposite direction. What don't you like about the grain markets?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. What I don't like about the grain markets is, as much as I want to be friendly for corn, as much as I really, like we said, the corn balance sheet's done nothing but get better or more friendly since the beginning of last calendar year, right? I mean, right. It's a full year now where that corn balance sheet's just been getting better and better and better. The problem that I have with it is that at this point, it might not get that much better. And the bigger concern that I have is that the funds are about as long as they ever have been at this time of year. And there's a lot of things that can happen to get them out of that long position. If the funds feel like they've overstayed their welcome in that massive long position that they have, look out below in corn. And even though I do that, there's a lot of risk factors for corn. Second season corn crop in Brazil, getting pushed back into their typical hot and dry season, the potential for planting delays here. I'm not saying that we have that yet, but that's always a risk that we take. The drought monitor is not exactly, that wonderful. So, I mean, we have, weather risk for our growing season. I mean, there's a lot of things in corn that should keep some premium in the market, but if you give funds a reason to get out, and it could be something that has nothing to do with typical grain fundamentals, oh man, this could be a pretty solid flush out, and that would not be fun. So I don't like the market setup, the money flow setup that we have in corn right now. It gives me pause on thinking that corn can go sharply higher without another major weather problem or something happening.
Right.
I don't like that the global soybean carryovers ballooned 25% in 2 years. Mm-hmm. I also get the feeling that we've kind of turned the corner on South American weather. We may have factored in most of the bullish news that we're going to get for now.
Okay.
I think guys should be looking at, 15 to 25% sold on new crop corn at this point, maybe 25 to 35% on beans. I can hear you chuckling. Is that what you were about to ask?
I was going to say, so wrap this all up in what guys should be doing with their marketing.
Yeah. What
kind of strategies do you like?
Yeah, well, if you don't know, Chip, I do host the radio show, guest host the radio show occasionally. Yes, so I kind of know how the question flows go. But I think I want to be a little bit more aggressive on cash sales and or hedge to arrives in soybeans, just because I don't really see a profound upside potential right now. That can change. So you want to be nimble. You want to have ways of managing that position. But I do think that I want to be tied into current prices rather than having a floor well below. Right. Okay. And also given the makeup of, profit margins, you really don't have room below. We don't have room below us in soybeans to really mess around with. Right. On corn, I want to take a bit of a different, perspective, because like I said, I think there are risk points in corn from a weather perspective. We went down the list. We got South America first, then planting, then our growing season. I want to keep the upside open, somewhat open in corn. I think a price window strategy, owning a put and using a short call to help finance the put, I think is a really valuable, viable strategy right now if you're willing to deal with the risk on or margin risk that you have on being short the call. I hesitate to say risk because, if you're dealing with the physical, basically the worst thing that short call could do is get you locked in at a higher price, I suppose. But there is that margin risk that you have, so you do keep that in mind. And then for wheat, I'm actually kind of reluctant to do a whole lot because I think there's a whole lot of support underneath us in this wheat market that I would have to see some pretty bad things happen on a wheat chart before I really sound the alarm of having to get more aggressive on the wheat at this point.
All right. All right. Well, and if wheat is going to see an effort to push some of the short funds out, you got to look at that corn market, and you made reference to it. It's been a nice move from that late August low that we put in the corn market, and a lot of that initial push from that low was built on the short covering in the market. I just think there's an anticipation that we're going to see some of that happen in wheat here over the next few weeks, right?
Yeah, I can't disagree with it. I mean, look, regardless of the timing of it, if I'm sitting here looking at a wheat chart today and I'm a speculative trader that mostly focuses on charts and I don't really know why, but all of a sudden you've got this cup and saucer into a breakout formation of wheat, I feel like not only do I need to get out of my short positions, but I might need to really build, I might be enticed to build a long position there. So like I said, I think timing plus the wheat chart gives a lot of enthusiasm or encouragement for that. But we'll see. Okay. It's wheat, you know?
Yeah, it's wheat. That's exactly right. We've been there a couple of times. Tad, it's always good to talk to you, my friend. Thank you so much for making time for us, and get back to work tomorrow when the market's open.
Thanks for having me, brother. Always a pleasure.
Excellent. That is Ted Seifert, VP and Chief Market Strategist at Zahner Ag Hedge. Davis and I will be right back.
Day one.
FFA members adhere to a code of ethics to promote their own development and make a positive difference in the lives of others. They strive to be courteous, honest, and fair, modest in winning, and generous in defeat, developing the traits of great leadership. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Recognizing all the hard work our local FFA chapters do throughout the year, this FFA salute is brought to you by Dunn Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
It's good to know that your Touchstone Energy Cooperative is always there. For generations, we've powered the growth of our neighborhoods, our businesses, and everything in between. Today, our commitment is stronger than ever to provide affordable energy you can depend on and keep you connected to what matters most, now and for generations to come.
Dunn Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
At Advent Health, we believe wholeness isn't any one field. It's all of them. Laughter to tears and everything in between. So let your hearts overflow. Let your spirits dare to hope. And let the sun shine through. May you always live in wonder, wondering at this life. And never ever stop reaching for what makes you feel whole. Learn more at adventhealth.com/human spirit.
From FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here on your President's Day. Chip Flory here as well. Hey, buddy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. How'd you like that?
I like that a lot.
Me and Ted.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was cool.
Terrific conversation with the pride of Water Street himself. He puts the edge in Zahner Ag Hedge, Ted Seifert. I just have a couple of questions, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna start at the end of your conversation there. He doesn't want to put a floor below soybeans?
He doesn't... Below the market, take the prices that are available.
Okay.
Right now. So in other words, if you're buying a put, you got to buy it at the money. Don't go too far below the market to cheapen up the cost of the put to establish that position. You got to have, and it's all because of what's break even. What's break even on your bean crop? It's probably something above what the market is offering right now, you know, in that 10.35 to 10.50 range in the March contract, and not quite that on the new crop. So if you are going to do some risk management with futures or options in the bean market, do it at the money. Don't do it below the market.
You remember, I'm going to take us over to corn here a little bit because something came up that just made me think. Let's go to the maybe world, okay, right now? Let's speculate just a little bit.
Okay.
You remember when we were talking about the shorts in the corn market?
Yeah.
It's a few months ago.
Yeah.
But the conversation, again and again and again, we just need him to get out of these short positions.
Just get them out. I just want them to stop selling. Yeah.
Yes. That came to an end, and now we're hearing an awful lot about a pretty sizable fund long position in the corn market.
Right.
In a perfect world, near record, so substantial. In a perfect world, would we have maybe wanted to wait 6 weeks, maybe 2 months before that shift came when the shorts started to work themselves out? And now here we are long. It feels like we're too long, too early in the growing season. Does that make any sense to you?
Too long, too early in the 2025 growing season.
Yes.
Well, Davis, I think what we're seeing here is the increase in importance of South American corn production, not soybean production, but South American corn production and its influence on the U.S. markets and U.S. prices. And as Brazil has captured more and more of the corn export market, and as Argentina is taking steps to encourage corn exports rather than, you know, forever and a day, a producer in Argentina put grain in the bin because it was going to be worth more tomorrow than what it is today. That's how fast the inflation was mounting in Argentina. That seems to have slowed down a little bit, and some of the changes on the export taxes are encouraging more exports out of Argentina. So I think what we are seeing is a reflection of how much more important the South American growing season is to the corn market than what it has been in the past.
It just doesn't seem like very much headroom. And it seems like an awful lot of structure that probably needs to keep us in this position now for the medium term here.
Well,
it makes me nervous.
You know, think about this. The other thing that Ted was talking about is look at what has happened to the old crop carryover and the old crop balance sheet since a year ago when we got the first look at the new crop balance sheets at the annual Ag Outlook Forum at USDA, which is coming right up again. But so you're going back a full year. We've taken about a billion bushels off of that corn export, the corn carryover outlook since then. It's that is a significant shift for the market to go through. So, I mean, when you get right down to it, the corn market has been rallying for the entire, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's true, for the entire 2024-25 marketing year, which started September 1 of 2024. It's been moving to the upside ever since for the entire marketing year. Now, what that tells me is that the market understood that there was going to be a shift of a billion bushels at some point, and it's taken a long time to get that all factored in.
Just real quickly here before we run out of time, this is interesting because this came up last week as well. The thought seems to be emerging resolution to this Russia-Ukraine war here could be short-term bullish for the wheat market.
Yeah, Ted mentioned it today. Mike Miner from Professional Ag Marketing mentioned it last week. I get it. I understand the line of thinking here, and it is that once the market fundamentals start to have a bigger influence on the price of wheat in Russia, that it may lead to higher wheat prices in Russia rather than the fire sale prices that we've been seeing as Russia's been trying to generate revenue to pay for the war.
I mean, it's pretty hard to get rich on discounts. You know what I mean?
That's
giving
right.
people discounts on your product. Eventually, I would imagine that program has got to come to an end, and they got to start charging regular free market price. Imagine that.
That's right. That's right. Hey, buddy, have a good rest of your President's Day. I'm going to see you tomorrow at Top Producer.
Yeah, baby. It's going to be awesome. TPSummit.com, good people. Check it out.
Top Producer Summit. That's exactly where Davis and I are going to be tomorrow. Tune in, 10:06 Central, here on AgriTalk.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I pushed through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A jetliner looks to have landed in Toronto at